This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Back here on the second guest show, Mike DeTellier along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight. On our Oakwood Hard Jewelers talking text line, he covers the New Orleans Saints, reporter for Saints News on SI.com. Also host of Second and Saints, John Hendricks. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me as always, Mike. Hope you guys are doing well.
Doing great, John. Thank you. John, when you look at it, cut down. Now, they couldn't cut today, but tomorrow by 3 p.m., everything has to be done. When you look at pickups over the next, say, 2 or 3 days afterwards, we have talked about this, that I think there are going to be 4 to 5 changes on this roster from the 53. They need help along the offensive line. I'm not telling you go pick up a starting offensive tackle somewhere because everybody's looking for them just about. But you need some help there from a depth standpoint, and possibly that guy down the line play for you. I think running back's a possibility also. And you never know what's out there. I think the punting situation is sort of fluid also. Your thoughts on how this will be reshaped once you get to 53, then that's going to be additional moves afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's what people always forget about, is just because you make the 53 doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay on there, because of whether it be accounting purposes or anything else that happens. I mean, look, you guys hit the offensive line, and look, I reported it yesterday, but I was told that this team is looking for an offensive tackle. So whether it be via free agency or waivers, I would expect them to look heavily there, because I think the depth has a little bit more room to improve, and I say a little bit being kind of modest, but they got some opportunities there. I think they might look at wide receiver too. I don't know if the depth is as strong as where it should be. I can understand running back and such too, but you know, you've set up the 53-man roster up. There's going to probably be some moves you have to make for IR purposes and such, and you can change it this year where you can put two there where you don't have to carry them that extra day. So that'll be interesting if a guy like Kendre Miller falls into that category, or somebody like Kool-Aid McKinstry. And we know some of those guys are going to start on PUP, like Tano and Nephi Sewell, because they're just not ready. But, you know, the thing is, yes, there's definitely going to be some roster jostling. I definitely think there's some areas that they're a little bit uncertain about. And the thing is, you guys know as well as I do, it's imperative that they get this right, because 3 years removed from the postseason, it doesn't matter what it is. There's no more excuses to be had. If there's something that you're not feeling 100 about, you got to address it, because this is not a year where you can just afford to go 8-9 or 7-10 or 9-8 and miss the playoffs. It just can't happen this year.
Now, John, everyone obviously focused at right tackle with Trevor Penning. But bear with me, and I want you to maybe enlighten me about left guard. Okay, I look at the left guard position. You know, Lucas Patrick, he's started some games. And then when you look at what's going to come about, Shane Lemieux, a veteran on the bubble, but seems like they're pleased with Kyle Hergel, the undrafted free agent, to make maybe the roster. You know, he's 6'2", 315 pounds, and he's recently received, what, first-team reps at left guard. So what is your take on that left guard position with Kyle Hergel, even those veterans, like I mentioned, Lucas Patrick or Shane Lemieux?
Yeah, look,
is Saldivari, with Saldivari out, that really muddies the waters now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, here's the thing is, based off of what we saw in the game, Lucas Patrick was one of the guys that wasn't playing in the game. And look, I if I'm reading between the lines, they rested the starters. I'm pretty sure of the impression that he's landed the left guard spot, right? And so that's just me assuming, and you know what they say about assuming, but I think just covering this team as long as I did, I can read between the lines. But, you know, look, it is interesting because Nick Saldivari went out with a calf injury. They really like him as a prospect, but you got to be available. And so he's somebody that could fit in the boat of where he might could go to IR if they do carry him on the roster and could bring back like a Shane Lemieux, since he is a veteran, one of those like, hey, we might need to cut you here for roster and accounting purposes and then bring you back the next day. I mean, that's stuff that happens all the time in this league, you know, whether it's a handshake deal or gentleman's agreement, whatever you want to call it. But look, I've been impressed with Kyle Hergel, and look, I think he's somebody that has come in here and worked so hard at what he's done. And the thing is that I hopefully, you know, from what we've seen in camp and what we've seen in practices versus what we've seen in the preseason, I mean, this is a guy that really has just hit another level, and he's played on the interior. I know they've cross-trained him at a bunch of positions. He's been like a sponge. You know, Derek Carr complimented him a lot and talking about how you remind him of past offensive linemen with the Raiders and such. And so, look, they've cross-trained some guys there. They've cross-trained Landon Young. He's kind of like new James Hurst, if you will. And Shane Lemieux is a guy that, you know, I think that is a veteran that fits this system. He's been in a version of this system like Lucas Patrick. And so, again, I think it's a little unsettling. When I made my 53, I put Kyle Hergel on there. I think they keep 9 offensive linemen because of some of the uncertainties there. You just got to do it in this day and age. But Nick Saldivari is the one I'm worried about. We got to see him around the facility a little bit and around the field, but he doesn't look like he's anywhere close to returning right now.
Now, John, when you look at in the secondary and the depth, who's been available or taking advantage of the opportunities, I mean, I've really been impressed, especially as a gamer, Rico Payton. I mean, you look, training camp, he hasn't been as smooth. You know, you might see him get exposed at times. But it's 2 excellent preseason games. And you look at passes defending where he's at. Then you got Shamir Jones-Charles, you know, in the bubble. Well, what do you think about that when you look at the back end? Because we all know who's the top cornerbacks on the team and all that. But what's your take? Is that like Rico Payton, a practice squad guy, or, you know, compared to Shamir Jones-Charles, or what?
Yeah, look, I think Shamir is going to end up being new Isaac Yiadom, and he's been running with the first team a good bit during, you know, training camp and being that guy with Marshawn Lattimore out. When they move into nickel, it's him and Paulson and Eva on the outside with Alante going in the slot. But look, here's what I'm going to tell you about Rico Payton. Everything I've heard from this is if he doesn't make the 53, I've heard several teams are already interested in picking him up. And so I don't know that he's going to be a guy that gets on the practice squad with somebody, because you do have to clear waivers. And look, I think he's somebody who's really showed out. He's probably one of the most improved from camp, because early on it wasn't so good for him, but he's a prime example of what happens when you keep working, put your head down, listen to your coaches, and then go apply what you've learned. And so, look, I think he's a guy that is really special. I think he has some real unique skills that he can offer to this team, but I just don't know if it's enough to edge out a Shamir Jones-Charles because of the special teams prowess that he has. And so, I don't know. It's a toss-up, but I guarantee you this is a guy that, you know, if he does get waived, other teams are going to be interested. And so if they don't put him on that 53, New Orleans is going to have some competition there with Rico Payton.
Now, John, looking at, man, you know, when you got to have a big game and it just doesn't happen, because I've been a fan of his in OTAs and, you know, and then the mini camp. Michael Jacobson, I said, oh, could this be the next Jimmy Graham? I don't know, he's 6'7", 6'8", whatever. But he missed a week with a foot injury. Then Dallin Hoker, is out with an ankle injury. So you look at the competition at tight end. But, boy, he had a bad game against Tennessee. A drop pass and then just bad penalties. I mean, I was kind of disappointed in Michael Jacobson not taking advantage of the opportunity against the Titans.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there, too. That was a rough look. And, you know, you're right. He was somebody who impressed early on. He was a frequent target of Spencer Rattler and Jake Haener. I mean, it was definitely one of the security blankets for them. But, you know, look, in a situation like that, you get a kickoff penalty, a holding call, stuff that brings back touchdowns. You know, that's just not a good look, you know what I mean? And so I didn't leave him on my 53. I think he's practice squad material, but at the same time, you know, it's a bummer because, like Dennis Allen said, these guys work hard, and what we see in a game action isn't necessarily the end-all, be-all, and it doesn't tell the entire story because of what these guys have done in practice. And, you know, that's something they talked about in the evaluation process, is that they're assessing everything from OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason. Like, all of that does matter. And so I don't think it's enough to crack the roster at this point. But, you know, again, if he would have had a good game and was able to show out, I think he certainly would have made things a lot harder on this coaching staff. But look, in the same breath, Dalen Holker, his ankle injury is nothing serious. I expect him to be ready for week one from everything I was told there. You know, I even saw him in the press box yesterday, so that's a good sign that he's around. But, you know, look, it's a prime example. I thought there was a lot of players that could have really made something of themselves in the game on Sunday against Titans, and they just weren't able to for whatever reason. Jacobson fits in that category.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
John, the kind of battery cable jumper, so to speak, that we see with Spencer Rattler, okay? And he's, to me, he's the type of guy that I think he plays better in a game than he does maybe in practice at times. But you can feel the excitement with him. And I think the guys believe in him, that he's a playmaker. What I see different from his days from South Carolina to now is he's better on the move. Now, at South Carolina, he had to move because their offensive line last year was horrible. They couldn't block anybody. And he had to run around. But I think what he's gotten better at is throwing the ball off center point, away from the pocket. And he makes something happen out on the field. There's a certain vibe with him that, okay, Jake Haener, I think, is a good backup quarterback. I think somewhere down the line, Spencer Rattler's going to be a starter in this league.
Yeah, that's what it seems like, especially, and I was telling Mike this, John, that throw he made to St. Brown, that's about as good as it gets. I don't care if you You know, no matter, you can look Josh Allen or whoever. You might look at all across the league. Like, oh, that was dropping in the well, in the bucket. That was about as good as it gets. But if you are a starter, maybe we would expect Derek Carr to make that pass. You know, like Pat Mahomes and all them. But I'll tell you what, it was a game. Now, I know it's preseason, but he still had to make the throw. To me, that pass was the best pass, which is more regular season-like in the whole preseason.
I agree with that.
You know, you look
that.
At all the games. I said that throw, I saw that throw. I was like, oh, that's a pro's pro. That's a pro throw right there.
Yeah, that was an NFL throw. And look, you know, in practice-wise, he finished, by my charting, was 91 and 149. That Spencer Rattler. Jake Haener finished 109 and 165 out in training camp. Now, of course, there's all sorts of caveats and the way they play out and all that other stuff. I mean, definitely Haener was riding a lot in as far as the hot hand in practice, you know, after the hip, you know, contusion that Spencer Rattler had, or the thigh contusion, I'm sorry, that he had. He didn't have the greatest week of practice, but he improved, he rebounded, and he's a guy that played really well in the first game against the Cardinals, and he played really well against the Titans, I thought. And, you know, look, I don't know if it's enough to knock Jake Haener off of the backup, right? But I think in the same breath, look, Spencer Rattler, his future is bright. And I think this is when you look at the Saints' history of drafting quarterbacks, which is not anything to shake a stick at, this is probably the most entertaining prospect and most polished prospect we've seen as a rookie, and I don't know how long, right? And so I think there's a certain excitement level there. Look, and the thing is with Derek Carr, he is your starter, and I'm of the belief and impression that he's going to be the starter and the quarterback next year and Dennis Allen returns. I mean, of course, there's a lot of football they play. There's a lot of things that vary on that. But somewhere down the line, if they change some things, Spencer Rattler is a guy that, man, you just look at some of the ways he's able to command the offense, the way that people have responded to him, and just the fact that he's able to go in there and make some of these NFL throws that are just really appealing and just make you wonder. And we'll see if that actually happens down the line. But, you know, for now, I don't know if he's going to get the backup spot based off of yesterday because they're looking lean a lot in practice, but he had a heck of a training camp, and I feel good about both quarterbacks in the event something happens to Derek Carr.
Well, I look at Rattler, drafted in, the fifth round. It couldn't have been a steal for the Saints. You don't think Tom Brady was a steal for the Patriots? Come on. Hello. See where he was drafted. But then now I look at, like, Haener and Rattler. Haener's a professional quarterback. And, you know, Haener could be more consistent throughout camp, which I think he was. But Rattler just seems like the ceiling could be a lot higher. In other words, I think that Haener could be an NFL quarterback and play a number of years, Jake Haener. But as far as, like, a potential starter, I just think the ceiling and the upside, I think it's just more with Rattler. I mean, I think I'm being fair with that. I mean, I'm just looking at both of them, and then you see, okay, what's the ceiling, what's the low, and all that. I just think Spencer Rattler could be special, where I think Jake Haener could be more steady, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you've got that level of excitement that could take him to the next level. Like, you know, you're talking about a quarterback with higher upside and higher ceiling potentially. And look, I think Jake Haener can command the offense. I think he can run things. I think he can do a lot in this offense. I know they believe a lot in him. He's worked really hard this offseason. But, you know, again, I think if you look at the longevity of the careers, when it's all said and done, you could say Spencer Rattler might have the flashier moments, the maybe arguably the better career. I mean, it's so hard to tell because you're talking about a rookie versus a second-year player. I'm just excited at this point that the Saints have found an answer without having to turn to a veteran and shell out money for a veteran. Like, I feel good about that room, and I think it's a tip to what Andrew Giannakko has come in here and done, their quarterbacks coach, and Clint Kubiak. I think for Rattler, it was just a matter of getting him in the right system, the right coaching, and I think he's found a perfect pairing there with the Saints. But look, you know, when it's all said and done, it won't surprise me 1 year where you see a Rattler commanding an offense, starting for a team, whether that's the Saints or somebody else. And I think he's going to do a really good job of it. And I think he's somebody that can really bring it and provide an extra flash versus, you know, like you said, J.K. Hayner, steady option. Sometimes steady is what wins the race. You know what I mean? And so I think that, you know, it remains to be seen, but I think it's fascinating of the boat the Saints are in right now with quarterback.
Now, John, the last thing before we let you run, boy, St. Brown, I think he took advantage of a situation. You look at 4 targets, 3 receptions, he had that 21-yard touchdown. When I look, okay, we all know about Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, I look at Cedric Wilson Jr. Well, we're talking about being wide open after that. You look at St. Brown, you know, all bubble guys, I don't know, Stanley Morgan, Kevin Austin Jr. You look at Samson Nakua. You look at A.T. Perry. I mean, that could swing either way. And then out of sight, out of mind, because he was hurt. Mason Tipton. Boy, a lot of competition there. That, to me, is like, who do you trust? You know, that fourth or fifth guy right there at the receiver room.
Yeah, look, I think for me, I'd say as of right now, it's A.T. Perry and then Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, that was what I wanted to see from Equanimeous St. Brown. I thought he's a guy that when I was making it, you know, the fifth roster spot, I only kept 5 wide receivers. Now, of course, what do we know? What do I know? I'm not the Saints and stuff. But, you know, I think the injuries hurt Bub Means. I think the injuries hurt some of these other guys. I think Kevin Austin Jr. had a prime area to show that he could be in that conversation, but he had a couple of drops. And look, St. Brown had some drops too, but they like him in the blocking aspect. And when it push comes to shove, this offense says that they're predicated on their ability to run the football, and they've liked what they've seen from Cedric Wilson Jr. as a blocker, his willingness. But I think Equanimeous St. Brown is probably the most polished run blocker they have, and so that's why I'd probably give it to them. Look, A.T. Perry, it's fascinating. I think he had, early on in camp, he had Isaiah Foskey syndrome, like where he said, I'm trying to think too much and just not go out there and play. And then he had the game against the Cardinals and then started building upon that. I think he's probably wide receiver 4 at this point. But, you know, again, Tipton is a guy that they really were high on, and the fact that he was doing so well up until the injury, I just don't think it's enough to get him on the 53. He's probably practice squad material. And then they might just have to make a choice. I think Stanley Morgan Jr. is a guy that we just don't really talk about, but he's come in and he's done solid work, and he's also that special teams presence. And so it's probably one of those number things where you say, okay, do we keep the extra linebacker or the extra safety, or do we keep the extra wide receiver? And I think that's where you got to decide if you're New Orleans.
John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy your insights. And the one thing for sure, over the next couple, 3 days, but all this news is going to keep us busy.
Yeah, it's all fluid.
Yeah. John, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate
all right,
it, buddy.
All right, John.
Y'all have a good one, guys. Thanks.
All righty. John Hendricks, lead writer and reporter for Saints News on SI.com, also host of Second and Saints.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.